In this episode of the Smart Community Podcast, I had a really fascinating conversation with Bruce Windsor, the Executive Director of Innovation and Digital Services and the Chief Information Officer responsible for information technology, architectures and applications, innovation and research at Bendigo Health. As part of our spotlight on the regions this month, I wanted to speak with Bruce specifically about his experiences fostering smart health initiatives in the Bendigo region of Victoria. In this episode, Bruce and I discuss how a visit to Amsterdam in 2007 sparked his interest in smart cities and the smart community concept, and why he believes it is so important for economic and community development in regional areas. Bruce explains the power of the strengths-based approach to smart communities in regional areas, which for Bendigo means a focus on smart health initiatives. He shares a bit about the projects he's currently working on, including the new Bendigo Hospital ICT and EPR project, with its focus on data and innovation via a startup centre. He tells us how having a mix of key players and regional champions is important for integration, as is creating an intentional ecosystem and environment of collaboration. We finish our chat talking about the emerging trend of refocusing on change management when building smart communities, and why glossing over the change management process in the past has been detrimental. A quick warning, there are a couple of audio glitches in this episode. However, I think you'll find this conversation fascinating and enjoy the insights Bruce shares in smart regional health. As always, we hope you enjoy listening to this episode as much as we enjoyed making it.
Welcome to the Smart Community. Smart regions, smart towns, and smart cities. It's where we live, work, and play with smart communities. The future starts today. Big data, smart mobility, emerging trends galore. The Smart Community Podcast is what you're looking for.
Hello, Bruce. How are you today?
I'm very well. I'm fresh and ready for our session, Zoe. Thank you.
I'm excited. Let's jump straight in. And can you tell us about your background and what you're passionate about?
Okay, well, I've been in the IT industry for a very long time. I graduated in 1976, so I've had about 43 years in ICT, and I've seen quite a bit of change. When I went through and did my computing science, information science degree, there was only seven students in my year. And of course, today there's any number of students doing varying degrees in business or computing or associated disciplines. So I learnt on punch cards and paper tape, and the days of actually going into a computer centre with white lace-up like moccasins and a white dust coat, we've come a long way.
Yeah, wow. So what are you passionate about?
I think about change and the way that ICT can enable that change, and just trying to bring any of the industry sectors that I've worked in along that journey, and whether it be using digital theodolites in underground mining, whether it be, you know, mapping, using mobile applications in the early days, you know, collection of data, and then storing that data, and then obviously having access to the data. So I think my passion is really around the change management aspect of enabling our businesses to utilise ICT.
So what sparked your interest in this kind of smart cities and community space?
Well, I was very fortunate. I had a visit to Amsterdam back in about 2007. Check out their innovation centre, I guess, down their old precinct around the water and the wharves. And that had a walk-up innovation centre where anyone in from the public would walk in and suggest ideas. And they had a team of what I'd call probably entrepreneurs sitting in the background, and they would assess these, and then they'd pick a project. And they were pretty out there projects, like having, you know, connected devices in parks where you could get to meet people, share experiences with your animals as you walk them around the park. It was a little bit way out for 2007. And, of course, how they were using innovation in the health sector, like smart digital coffee tables for the elderly, right through to, you know, recent visits into Barcelona, how they leverage a lot of technology that not only is utilized for a specific purpose like maybe security, but it also then gives you an indication as to where all the uploads are on their public Wi-Fi network and where there's groups of people and where there's lots and lots of interest around their tourist settings. So it becomes a bit of a journey that, you know, can we do that in our own city? Can we get smart around our transport? Can we leverage our lighting systems with Turess and weather monitoring? Can we lay new infrastructure in our cities that enable us to utilise all these new things that are coming with the Internet of Things? So I've had the opportunity to look at a lot of different towns, and basically at the end of the day, it's about economic and regional development for your city. And, you know, I'm really inspired to try and retain our young people into the region, and also try and attract some of those younger people in cities who might be looking for a lifestyle change, but are happy to come to the country. But inside the country areas, we've got really good infrastructure, and we've got a mindset with our workforce that we want to do things creatively and change the world.
Awesome. So what is a smart community to you?
Look, I think a smart community is a bit like innovation. What's the definition of innovation? It can be anything that you want. I mean, it could be actively participating in developing software for your city. It could be utilising solar technology for energy efficiency and, savings on street lighting. It could be a streetscape of digital art. It could be sharing information between centres, a bit like you've got Melbourne Federation Square, and Bendigo has a central sort of CBD district. How do we connect those two together and share information, events? You know, whenever there's an event on in Bendigo, we could beam that out of Bendigo back into Melbourne. I think it's almost anything. It's more than just having a public Wi-Fi. It's more than just having a broadband, high-speed broadband within your city. I think it's a mindset that everyone wants to participate in. So therefore, it's not left to a couple of evangelists or to the council or state government. I think it's got to be a move from the young people and from the business people within a city to get to where they want to be. And not every town or city has the same aspirations. And I think you've got to look at what your area or community is good at and then try and utilise that for the betterment of your smart city project. So things like agriculture, you might pick agriculture in different areas within a Victoria setting, water management, smart cities around water management, smart cities around traffic flow, pedestrian flow, smart cities around lighting, education precincts. Some smart cities are totally university towns. So I think it plays with the strategy and the longer term plans of the, in our case, the City of Greater Bendigo.
So why do you think that this concept is really important? And I guess particularly for regional areas?
I think primary, it gives the opportunity to retain jobs and people in your community, and therefore you get growth. The flip side of that is that it's an attraction. So therefore you get maybe some of the younger people that left coming back. Maybe new businesses wanting to move out of metro area for all different sorts of reasons. Maybe the young families coming back to the country, a lifestyle change, but they've got all the services and facilities to maintain their work profile and their career by working in a regional centre. So I think that's really important, the economic and regional development benefits that come from smart cities.
And how do you think Australia is currently embracing this smart concept, maybe, smart regions concept?
Look, I think when I first started, there was probably two or three players that were interested in smart cities outside of a metro. So, for instance, I think the first smart city plan done by a regional community was over in Western Australia at Geraldton. And I know that both myself and a few other colleagues had worked very hard for Bendigo to be on the smart city sort of map strategy with IBM. So companies like IBM, the Ciscos, the Microsofts, the large technology telecommunication players all have smart city units, if you like, and they're obviously looking for growth, but they're also to assist in the strategy planning. So in those early days, Bendigo was certainly there. Now out of the 250-odd local governments around Australia, I would almost be assured in saying that all of them have got some aspiration to be a smart city or part of a smart city, and therefore in their strategic planning exercise, there will be mentions around smart communities. But, I mean, it could be, it really could be anything. I mean, I had a trip to Boston a few years ago, and their equivalent local government were developing apps for street and road asset management, and they built an app on your phone. You put obviously you carry your phone on your bike, and as you're riding around town, you see there's a pothole. You hit the button on the GPS, and it automatically registers the coordinates and sends it back to the council. So you've actually got the public now doing the work for you, which is a smart way of doing asset management and road maintenance.
That definitely fits into, you know, that whole system approach and having the community assist with things that they, you know, they get benefit from, essentially.
Yeah, and, you know, we've got a great education award in Bendigo, and there's interest from other players, and particularly in health. We have two universities on site and another couple of universities that we partner with. So the opportunity there to do really good innovation and leverage and try and become a smart and healthy community is high, certainly on my agenda and high on other people's lists. So it depends where you see your strengths. And Bendigo has a fantastic new hospital. It's a digital real-time hospital that then enables us to leverage that both for, you know, technology play as well as workforce plays. And we're making a huge push into smart workforce by educating our nurses in health informatics, which is, you know, the requirement and the need for data to be able to do your clinical analytics and business intelligence. You've got to have nice, clean data and the understanding as to why you collect data and how you should manage it. So it's not just technology, but it's also the workforce and keeping that workforce in front of the curve, if you like, so as we can espouse to be a significant, if not the best, regional town in Australia providing smart healthcare.
So tell us about some of the other projects and things that you're currently working on.
Yeah, so it's a pretty exciting time in health. We're 2.5 years into a brand new hospital, $650 million build, and it is a real-time hospital. It's very complex. We've got about 90 systems that are now connected in one system and sharing data. So the opportunity for us is now to analyse and utilise that data through, I don't particularly like the term big data, but we have lots and lots of data where we're going to store that and then have the ability to search and use clinical analytics or data science to go through the data and pick out correlations and, you know, suit the need for research that we want. So data is pretty big for us. That's an area where we'll start looking at in the next 12 months around analysing all the data we collect. And, of course, we're not just an acute. We are the major regional for psych services. We've got a very large residential aged care platform. It's about 800 aged care beds in our region, so it's large, and we're also large in community health. And we've got the biggest number of chairs in dentistry outside of dental health services in a metro area. So there's a lot of scope for us to look at solving problems and becoming innovative, and to that extent we're participating in a startup accelerator program, which is really exciting, and we've partnered with the Melbourne Health Exchange and ourselves, and we'll be advertising in the next 2 to 3 months for expressions of interest to engage with 12 or 15 startups who will then be encouraged to come on site and work on site for a few months, and we will give them every assistance to create the product or the service that both parties desire. And that gets us into our sort of our innovation space, where to support that, we've just advertised yesterday internally for a clinical entrepreneur in the innovation space, and for half a dozen clinicians to act as clinical in residence type roles to support our new venture. So very exciting. We're recruiting management of our startup centre, a coordinator role, and we've got a location inside the hospital which will become our innovation hub. And of course, that is really good for our region. 18 hospitals, and we can start to look at really good community-based type innovations, remote patient monitoring, keeping the patient in the home, community-orientated, with all the benefits of trying to keep our community healthy and probably wealthy and wise, I suppose.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. And that really feeds into this next question, which is how do we better integrate across the different disciplines, you know, government, industries, the startup space and the community?
Yeah, look, we've had a couple of goes at this. Our current mayor, Margot Rourke, and myself, probably 5 years ago, we followed a similar smart city concept that was running around in Canada at the time, which was a readiness for each town within our region. There was 10 municipalities. So to try and pull all this together and to identify where a town was at, where that council was at, we did a bit of audit and due diligence and ran some events and public events that were trying to gather information where they were on the curve to become a smart town or city and what their aspirations were good and were like. And we were building spider maps of key areas and themes that they felt they had strengths in, as well as the ability to bring the community along with them. So I think there's tool sets like that that are important, that they give an indication and a measure to the local government, which is key in smart cities.
Kind of giving a baseline.
Yeah, and the interest is, okay, well, I'm in Mildura, so, you know, what are my key strengths in Mildura? And they're going to be very different to if you was in Kerrang or if you was at the Kyneton or across to Echuca. And some have got interest in tourism, water, wine, et cetera. So I think you got to create those environments and you create an ecosystem. Obviously, towns have strong business centres, and you'll always find a couple of entrepreneurs out there that are willing to help you, and they're the people that you really want to stand up and push the cause. And, of course, convincing councils is always difficult, but at the end of the day, I think the way to numbers, and if the community really wants it, they'll show up. So a strategy that pulls all those industry groups together, a range of tool sets that helps make it easy for particularly local government to identify where you are on the curve are important. And then I think probably a couple of, if you can find a couple of really key partners that are interested and bring a bit of clout and some resource, whether it be a large consulting firm like maybe a KPMG, Pricewaterhouse, Deloitte, whether it's a telco, or whether it's a, you know, software company like a Google or a Microsoft, if you can spark their interest and then they get to, you know, participate in it, then that's all well and good as well. So I think there's a few factors there.
So what do you think the emerging trends are that people aren't talking about enough?
Well, I think there's one thing that people hardly ever talk about and they miss the point is they're always talking about the technology, but underlying that, it's just all straight change management and how you bring people along the journey and how they can see the new way of doing things is going to either help them directly or help their family or help their business or help their community or help their sporting club. I think a change manager is something that just gets tended to be glossed over.
Well, thanks so much, Bruce. It's been great to chat with you. I really appreciate you coming on the podcast.
No worries. Thank you very much. Enjoyed it.
That's good to hear. I just have one last question, which is how can people connect with you?
Twitter, so at CIO_BH. They can connect with me through the old way, email, bwinds@benierhealth.org.au. I don't have a Facebook page, so they can connect through our Bendigo Health Facebook page. But pretty much I always have an open door and I'm always keen to talk to anyone who's got a good idea. So it's pretty much rock up to the Bendigo Health, ask for me, and invariably I'll make some time or set aside some time to have a chat with you.
Okay, we'll put that in the show notes and people might rock up at your doorstep and have
absolutely
a knock at the door.
Yeah,
excellent.
That's all part of the new way of working as opposed to make an appointment and come back in 9 months' time.
I really appreciate your openness and thank you again for coming onto the podcast.
Okay, no worries. Thanks, Zoe.
Talk soon. Bye.
Bye.
Are you looking for an engaging speaker, MC, or facilitator for your next big event? Then we've got you covered. Zoe is a go-to speaker, MC, and conversation facilitator with a difference. She's a master at simplifying the complex and making connections you might never see. Book Zoe for your next event. Email hello@mysmart.community or head over to her speaker page, www.mysmart.community/speaking.
Thanks so much for listening to the Smart Community Podcast. Show notes for this episode and all other episodes are available on our website, mysmart.community/podcast. If you have any questions for us or any of our guests, you can email hello@mysmart.community. You can also find us on the socials. We are on LinkedIn and Twitter @smartcomhq. That's com with 2 M's. If you are enjoying the podcast, please hit subscribe so you never miss an episode. And we would love for you to leave us a rating and review at wherever you listen. This really helps us reach more ears and eyes, so thank you for your support. As always, we hope you enjoyed listening to this episode as much as we enjoyed making it.
The Smart Community Podcast is what you're looking for.